I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. We'll be exploring some cutting-edge concepts with respect to healing techniques, some brand new information that's come out with respect to the soul trap, and we'll also try to get into some specific procedures with respect to those people who are interested in sun gazing. And before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that will be led by Sri Swami Sachidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Hari.
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is, and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for new listeners to ET Yoga, I think you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And I'd like to take this opportunity to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, because you're already making the optimum difference in this world just by being you. And others become aware of the difference you're making when you're doing your passion. And I'd like to also offer and extend my appreciation, especially to those ET Yoga listeners who do take the time to email me with program content, questions you have about anything that I cover on air. Or what really makes my day is to hear about your successes related to information, techniques, concepts that you picked up on the ET Yoga program. Nothing makes my week more than to hear about that type of information. And you can always email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. Related to tonight's program, generally I have a topic in mind or something catches my eye during the week, and then I just kind of follow that thread of information into its entirety, and that's pretty much how the ET Yoga programs are put together. And this week, what caught my eye was an article written by Steve Jobs. And I have no idea who Steve Jobs was or is or all the different things that he may have been involved with in his life, but what caught my eye was his last words. And apparently he died a billionaire at 56 years of age of pancreatic cancer. And I'll quote from his last words. He said, "I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life is an epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy in the end. Wealth is only a fact of life that I am accustomed to. At this moment, lying on the sick bed and recalling my whole life, I realized that all the recognition and wealth that I took so much pride in have paled and become meaningless in the face of impending death. You can employ someone to drive the car for you, make money for you, but you cannot have someone to bear the sickness for you. Material things lost can be found, but there's one thing that can never be found when it is lost, and that's life. When a person goes into the operating room, he will realize that there is one book that he is yet to finish reading, and that is the book of healthy life. Whichever stage in life we're at right now, with time we will face the day when the curtain comes down. Treasure love for your family, love for your spouse, love for your friends. Treat yourself well. Cherish others. As we grow older and hence wiser, we slowly realize that wearing a $300 or a $30 watch, they both tell the same time. Whether we carry a $300 or $30 wallet or handbag, the amount of money inside is still the same. Whether we drive a $150,000 car or a $30,000 car, the road and distance is the same, and we get to the same destination. Whether you drink a bottle of $300 or $10 wine, the hangover is the same. Whether the house we live in is 300 or 3,000 square feet, loneliness is the same. You will realize your true inner happiness does not come from the material things of this world. Whether you fly first class or economy, if the plane goes down, you go down with it. Therefore, I hope you realize when you have mates, buddies, and old friends, brothers and sisters who you chat with, laugh with, talk with, have sing songs with, talk about north, south, east, west, or heaven and earth, that is true happiness. He also lists five undeniable facts of life. One, don't educate your children to be rich. Educate them to be happy. So when they grow up, they will know the value of things and not the price. Second, best awarded words in London, eat your food as your medicines. Otherwise, you have to eat medicines as your food. And third, the one who loves you will never leave you for another, because even if there are 100 reasons to give up, he or she will find one reason to hold on. Fourth, there's a big difference between a human being and being human. Only a few really understand it. And five, you are loved when you are born, you'll be loved when you die, and in between, you have to manage. If you want to walk fast, walk alone, but if you want to walk far, walk together. And he also lists the six best doctors in the world. Number one, sunlight. Number two, rest. Number three, exercise. Number four, diet. Number five, self-confidence. And number six, friends. Maintain them in all stages of life and enjoy a healthy life. And those were the final words of Steve Jobs. And what caught my eye in there in particular was, aside from the obvious connotations regarding wealth and what things really matter in life, was the concept about number one on his list was the sun. And also this whole concept about health. And as I've said many times in ET Yoga, you're a wealthy person if you have your health. And no amount of money in the world is going to give you that peace of mind and that feeling if you don't have your health. So it's highly important on my thinking on the spiritual journey to pay attention to taking care of your health, creating excellent health, and also learning ways to maintain that health or deal with issues as they arise. And when talking about the sun, I don't think there's anything that I know of that is a better healer than the sun. And that's one of the reasons that I got involved with sun gazing. Currently now at a little bit over the 4-minute mark on gazing at the sun. And I've been blessed to learn about that process. Actually, the whole idea came to me from a friend who was doing some sun gazing, and also from videos on YouTube from Hira Ratan Manek, and that's HiraRatanManek, Hira Ratan Manek. And according to him, the brain remains dormant without the sun. Sunlight has to reach the brain, and it reaches the brain through the eyes. And we must be careful how to do this. So it's 1 hour from sunrise and 1 hour before sunset. Those are the safe times. There's no ultraviolet at those times. And the health of the eye improves through the process of looking at the rising or setting sun. And you don't change anything else in your life. You just add gazing. And the first day you do this, you look for 10 seconds only. And keep the spine straight. And you can even look through a window. And then the second day, you add 10 seconds, so you do 20 seconds. And that is the maximum. And then you increase 10 seconds the next day, so you move up to 30 seconds. And it might be cloudy. And it doesn't really matter because it's all an accumulative effect. And after 3 months, you'll be at 15 minutes. It'll be at about the 90-day mark. And if according to him, if you have your eyes tested, your prescription will change. And he suggests to get the results yourself. Don't tell the eye doctor. And then another wonder takes place. And some of the software of the brain gets activated, the mind becomes balanced, and then you become positive in thinking. Fear falls away, even the fear of death. And you also develop willpower. You become peaceful and mentally healthy. And diabetes and other ailments just go away. And in an article written by Zen Gardner, he states that the ancient practice of sun gazing, that many proponents of this ancient technique were used by many cultures such as the Mayan, Egyptian, Aztec, Tibetan, and Indian yogas. And they all report that not only healing benefits to common illnesses, but obtaining superhuman abilities such as advanced telepathy and going completely without the need for food. And during the first 3 months of practice, the sun energy is moving through the eyes and charging the hypothalamus. And the brain then becomes activated by the energy supply being received by the sun. And at 3 to 6 months of gazing, the studies show that physical diseases start to disappear. They say that by the time one is gazing 30 minutes per day, building up 10 seconds per day, all the colors of the sun will have reached the brain. Color therapists attribute their healing of certain diseases to flooding the body and brain with the particular color that is lacking, depending on the ailment. For example, in liver disease, the color green is deficient. The kidneys need red and the heart yellow. All of the organs and all of the systems are said to respond to different colors of the rainbow, which is why it is also recommended to eat a diet rich in a variety of colors. It is recommended during the 3 to 4 month period that you use auto-suggestion to see your body already healed of any perceived weakness or disease. This action will facilitate the process of returning to wholeness. By 7.5 months of gazing, now at 35 minutes, the need and desire for food is dwindling. According to sun gazing experts, food is not actually needed to maintain the body, only energy, and sun eating provides that energy. By 9 months, all taste for food, including aroma, all hunger pains and cravings disappear. Those who make it this far say that they report a noticeable change in the way their brain feels, like it's charging up. After 9 months of sun gazing, reaching a maximum of 44 minutes, it is advised that you give up sun gazing and redirect your attention to the earth. For 6 days straight, one is to walk barefoot on the earth 45 minutes per day. During this barefoot walking, the pineal gland is said to become activated. Professional sun gazers and those researching the science say that each toe is connected to a specific gland. And by walking barefoot on the earth, you activate these glands. The big toe is thought to be aligned with the pineal gland, the second toe to the pituitary, then the hypothalamus, thalamus, and finally, the pinky toe correlates to the amygdala, walking barefoot with the sun now falling on the top of your head. Practitioners claim to create a sort of magnetic field in and around your body that recharges you and your brain. Apparently, this walking barefoot part is the most important aspect of this practice. As you continue walking on the earth, this is when the magic really begins. The pineal gland is activated more and more by this walking procedure, and intellect is said to increase along with memory. The pineal gland has navigational and psychic capabilities, meaning telepathy and the possibility of flight. And if you walk 45 minutes every day for a year, you are considered golden. At that point, only a maintenance of 3 to 4 days a week is necessary to maintain the capabilities you have acquired. And whole concept of sun gazing actually has a name now called the HRM effect for Hiro Rattan Manek, who he had been scientifically studied also by NASA, and because of not only his ability to go long times without food, but also with respect to the amazing size of his pineal gland. So, an amazing process, sun gazing, and to my way of thinking, the easiest way to not only improve eyesight but to eliminate disease, also activating areas of the brain that are dormant. And if you get into some of his YouTubes, I think you'll be highly impressed with not only his presentation but his way of explaining this incredible concept, which is gaining in popularity. And no wonder. I mean, basically what it requires is your effort and the ability to have access to the sun either an hour after sunrise or an hour before sunset. And it's a process that I would highly, highly recommend. In fact, on my list of advanced healing techniques, I consider the top three to be sun gazing, Qigong, and the Egyptian healing rods. Although gaining, and now in popularity, another technique that I've been successful with, and I'll share with you, because in order to even do the technique, it requires an obvious amount of knowledge. And that's where you identify with the energy field surrounding your body, or connecting with your higher self to the best of your ability, which is also outside the time-space continuum. And you're identifying with this energy field that's outside your body, and you have the knowledge that any ailment in the physical body will be seen in your auric field first, and then it manifests in the physical body. And if you also have the knowledge that this holographic universe we live in is not only holographic but also fractal, and it also flashes in and out of existence. So it flashes in and out of existence so fast that it's not noticeable to the human eyesight. But there are periods of time in actuality when our physical bodies are not present, but our awareness or our consciousness does not flicker in and out. And according to Pleiadian information, it's in this space in between the flashing where thought and belief exists. So this is the whole kernel of truth here with respect to this process of healing. So what you do is that you intend that whatever that ailment is that you choose to focus on is dissolving. And I would say the best practice for that would be to do some cloud dispersing. So what you do is on a nice sunny day, don't pick out some big giant cloud somewhere, but pick out one of those smaller ones that are kind of in between the big ones, and focus on it. And with your total intent and focus on that particular cloud, mentally say to yourself, this cloud is dispersing, this cloud is dispersing, this cloud is dispersing. And see how long it takes before you make the cloud disperse. And use that similar technique with respect to the ailment. Because basically what's happening is when your body is flashing in and out of existence, when you're in between that space as well, in your thought and belief, you are redirecting the energy to and giving it information as to how to manifest. So that's the technique. And highly suggest that you give that one a try. Now, another interesting aspect of healing or treatments, if you like, comes from Asia, and a guy named Enoch Tan. And I wanted to share with you this particular technique as well, because it does hold some other interesting bits of information about the universe that I think are actually right on. He says that in giving a treatment, you talk about somebody else, but a treatment begins and ends within the thought of the one giving it. The practitioner must do the whole work within himself. He must know the truth. And as he does that, he sets in motion the law of mind. Because a thing which is known by any part of the universal whole, when you know in one place, you know everywhere. And that bears repeating, because I think this is absolutely so. Because basically what he's saying is that if something is believed and it's known in any part of the universal whole, when you know it in one place, then it's known everywhere, because everything's interconnected. And when you give a treatment, you do not send out a thought. You simply know it within you. And when you know it within yourself, your thought operates in the subconscious of another, no matter where that person may be. There's no such thing as an absent treatment as opposed to a present treatment, because the mental connection is non-local. In mental treatment, the practitioner deals with thoughts and does not treat bodies or conditions. He never manipulates, nor need he lay his hands on his patients. He does not hypnotize them. He does not care where they are when he's treating them or what they are doing, for this would be a limited concept. The practitioner's work begins and ends within his own consciousness. We do not argue to make principle work, but to convince our own thought that it already is operating. If you desire to help someone destroy some form of lack, limitation, or error, the correct method is not to think of the person whom you wish to help. The intention to help them is entirely sufficient, as this puts you in mental touch with this person. Then drive out of your mind any belief of lack, limitation, disease, anger, difficulty, or whatever the trouble might be about the person's situation. As soon as you have succeeded in doing this, the result will have been accomplished and the person will be free. If one wishes to treat a patient, he must first treat himself. As he treats himself, that is, as he treats his own mentality, he reaches the mentality of his patient. The practitioner cannot erase the thought in the patient's mentality until he has first neutralized the idea in his own thoughts. The practitioner does not try to hold a thought or send out a thought. He simply tries to convince himself of the perfection of his patient. Never say, "There is a patient whom I must heal," for if you see him from this angle, how are you going to heal him? If you see a sick man, he will remain sick so far as you are concerned. You cannot heal while you see sickness. In treating, turn entirely away from the condition. Disease and limitation are neither person, place, nor thing. They are simply images of thought. Turn entirely from the condition or the limited situation to its opposite, that is, the realization of health, happiness, or harmony. Let us suppose that Sarah is sick and Michael is a practitioner of mental science. She comes to him saying, "I'm sick." He understands that mind is all. But she does not understand this. She feels that she is sick, but he knows that all sickness is mental. He does not try to hold a thought over her, nor does he try to suggest anything to her, for that is not mental treatment. He simply declares the truth about her. He speaks her name and says, "This word is for her. She is perfect. She is well." In other words, he contradicts what appears to be and declares the truth about her. What happens? A law is being enacted on the subconscious side of life. His word, operative through the universal sea of mind, in which both live, sets in motion a law which manifests through her body as healing. Sarah thinks a miracle has happened. She exclaims, "I'm healed. I did not have a bit of faith, but Michael healed me." A miracle has been performed. He used a law which all may use if they will. Suppose Sarah were perfectly well but wanted a position. What would the treatment be? It would be the same. Michael would state in mind what should be done for Sarah. There is only one law, mental law. Law is mind in action. Sarah could demonstrate just as well for herself if she understood it, but she must first see it demonstrated to realize it. This is the state of mind of most people who come for healing. They do not know what ails them. They think their condition is due to some external cause. Nevertheless, they are healed and exclaim, "This is a marvelous thing, though I do not understand what it is all about." But after they become superstitious about it, as people do about these things, they do not understand, and once they understand the law, healing is no longer a mystery. The method of realization is one whereby the practitioner realizes within himself the perfect state of another. It is purely a spiritual and meditative process of contemplating the perfect man, and if the embodiment of the idea is really made, it will at once produce a healing. Treatment is for the purpose of inducing an inner realization of perfection in the mentality of the practitioner, which inner realization activating through mind operates in the person. Healing is not creating a perfect body or a perfect idea. It is revealing an idea which is already perfect. Healing is not a process. It is a revelation through the thought of the practitioner to the thought of the patient. There may be a process in healing, but not a process of healing. The process in healing is the mental work and the time it takes the practitioner to convince himself of the perfectness of his patient and the length of time it takes the patient to realize this perfectness. If he could do it in 1 minute, she would be healed in 1 minute. Sarah must have a consciousness of health before the healing can be permanent. It will have to become a part of her subjective thought. If the consciousness did not change, she would perpetuate the old thought image and would get sick again. That is why in treating people, they get well for a while and then they become sick again. They're not permanently healed unless the consciousness is healed. When you treat, resolve things into thoughts, bodies, people, objects, and all things into thoughts. Having resolved everything into thoughts, know that disease is neither person, place, nor thing. It has no location, does not belong to anyone, cannot operate through anyone, is not believed in by anyone. Know that it is a false belief, a false image with no power. Know that the whole thing is mental, then mentally dissolve it. Each treatment is a complete statement of the reality of being. The treatment should be repeated daily until a healthy situation takes place. If it takes 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, or 5 years, the treatment must be kept up until a healing is accomplished. This is the only method we know. It is not enough to say everything is all right. There is truth in the principle, but in fact, it is only as true as we make it. Treat until you get results. As healing takes place when the patient is no longer sick, and until that time, mental work must be done. And I might note that there's definitely a correlation to his method and the one I just previously mentioned on tonight's program with respect to the dissolution of the issue or the mental problem. And this also reminds me of the situation of the woman from America who went to Beijing, China, to a Qigong center there with an inoperable tumor. And Greg Braden has the video results. It's called Healing Cancer in 3 Minutes, where three practitioners actually dissolve a person's tumor in about 3 minutes. So here you have three, you know, obviously very advanced practitioners working together with the same concept. And even though in the West this seems like a miracle, or a lot of people might say it's BS, but take a look at it and judge for yourself. Because when I saw this, it was really inspiring for me to see some physical evidence that this concept works, because actually it's one of the reasons that I started ET Yoga some 10 years back. Is because I knew about this process and wanted to share information that I had learned, because in my journey, what I found was, as you go along the spiritual path, and the more you know about how the universe works, the more you know about how everything works, including the human body. So there's a cross connection between healing and knowing about healing concepts and your spiritual progress. At least that's what I found to be the case. And when I saw the Greg Braden thing, I went, wow, this is just so amazing, and that, you know, people can see this actually in front of their eyes. So it's not just somebody's story someplace, or somebody trying to scam somebody into making money. This process is actual, and it can work. Of course, as with everything, belief is everything, and in order for it to be true, you have to believe it. So a very, very, I think, inspiring situation. Now, another little bit of information I came across this week was information concerning people who are hearing high-pitched frequencies. And I remember I went through a period of almost like a solid year where I heard high-pitched frequencies. And these are not related to vitamin D deficiency or tinnitus. These frequencies are associated with your spiritual awakening process, and more specifically in remembering and re-remembering of who you are. And this is an article, or the information was presented by a guy named Greg Prescott. And he says that these high-pitched sounds and frequencies may be associated with a DNA upgrade. Our bodies are mainly composed of water, and recent studies have indicated that sounds and frequencies have an effect on water molecules, as evidenced by Masaru Emoto's work with sound and the restructuring of water molecules. If you don't know about Masaru Emoto and his work, you really need to check it out, because it's really highly important that you place really positive energy into your water, because water is a perfect reflection of consciousness. And past life regression hypnotherapist Dolores Cannon, the late Dolores Cannon, believes these high-pitched noises are associated with your body rising in frequency as the Earth shifts into a new dimension. Many consider these high-pitched sounds to be a part of our genetic reprogramming, as the entire universe is being upgraded on a galactic level. And rest assured that these sounds are beneficial to your genetic and spiritual development. So I thought I'd want to pass that on to the ET Yoga listening audience in case you're one of those people that hears those high-pitched inner sounds. And I'd like to now move on to another, what I call, it's kind of a fascinating topic of sorts, because it deals with reincarnation. And of course, you know, for those people who don't believe in reincarnation, I guess, well, you don't need to bother listening to this because you don't believe it. But even going back as far as the early Christian era of the Origin and St. Clement and some of the old Gnostics way back in the early centuries, the process of reincarnation was even expounded and taught in the teachings of Jesus. And these the process of reincarnation was taken out of Christianity about the 3rd century. I think it was like 325 AD with Emperor Constantine. They had the Treaty of Versailles or Nicaea. They basically just took it out because they just thought it wasn't useful to their way of thinking. But all the rest of the world is, you know, has the concept of reincarnation except for Christianity, and Christianity also had it. Even Paramahansa Yogananda has stated that. But anyway, the main thing here is the current situation with respect to this whole process of reincarnation, because the reincarnation grid has been compromised. And the best video analogy I could find to this is if you go on YouTube and you go to Star Trek Voyager, and the name of the episode is Janeway versus the Archon. And interesting to note that they would use those words, because in this episode, Janeway is having a near-death experience, and she's confronted by someone who has the physical appearance of her father, who wants to take her with him. And she eventually realizes that he, or this image, is an imposter, and that would be her deceased father. And it all relates to what's more commonly known these days as the soul trap. And a few months back, it was getting quite a bit of publicity. And, of course, there is some controversy around the subject, because humans have been taught to follow the light. And it's a very elaborate program that the Archons actually have set up. And interesting to note that they actually use the word Archon in this Janeway versus the Archon. And it's actually the Archons that have compromised the reincarnation grid. So how it basically works is they trap you into following the light and kind of changing the scenario based upon your beliefs. Like if you're very much into Christianity, you might experience a Jesus figure. There might be deceased family members that you were close to that would come, and they would basically impersonate your family members. But going, following the light, following down this tunnel of light, is what leads you to basically this highly evolved process, whereby they basically recycle you, and you end up in an Anunnaki recycling chamber, and that's the trap. And there's another really good channeling by Angeal, that's A-I-N-G-E-A-L, Angeal Rose, concerning the it's known as the soul trap. and I think she has some really good ideas there. Alex Collier on Andromeda and Contact, he has talked about it, as has Barbara Marciniak from the Pleiadians. She has also talked about it, as well as Simon Parks. Those are some notable people that I know that share the same opinion I do about this. And that is that the idea being that you don't want to be sucked into that. At least I don't want to be sucked into that. And the technique that Alex Collier was told by the Andromedans was if that point arises where you're, and you need to know about this before the death experience, obviously, so that you're not kind of caught off guard. And the idea here is to turn around from the light and intend that you go back to source energy. And that's the way to get out of this prison system here. So that, to me, would be my suggestion. And Barbara Marciniak even goes further into some of the details here by stating that, according to her, during the last rites ceremonies, what some of the priests do is when they wave the cross over your chakras, that actually shuts them down, and then next thing you know, you end up in, as she puts it, the Anunnaki Recycling Center. So these are kind of a couple of heads-ups that I want to give that would bear your further research, because it's no minor detail. Like, I've had some discussions with people about, you know, there are different beliefs concerning religion versus spirituality, or you might get into some other long-winded discussions with people. And in the long run, everybody's, you know, welcome to their own beliefs, and one person's beliefs equally valid to another's belief. However, in this case, this is a huge, huge deal here. I mean, if you're going to allow yourself to go through the last rites, then you're probably going to have your chakra system shut down. And it's not that these priests that you know, most of them, I would say, probably don't even know what they're doing, kind of like current medical doctors are told their procedures that they're supposed to do, and if they don't follow them, they lose their license and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of a similar process. It's not that these people are, you know, necessarily, you know, consciously doing this, but unbeknownst to them, they're actually doing a great disservice to us. And according to the most recent information from Simon Parks, there were actually a couple of extraterrestrial races who were intending to dismantle this program that's been set up. And according to Simon, what they found was it was so highly technically put together, and I'm going to, reading in between the lines, not that Simon said this, but I'm putting my spin on it, that I think this complication comes from the fact that these archons are kind of lower fourth dimensional energies, so it's not only in this dimension, it's a mix between third and fourth dimensional energy, as well as I sense, okay, AI is involved here as well. And if you know anything about some of the cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin in particular, you can't crack into Bitcoin because it is AI. Okay, like you don't like there was one of the most expert hackers that could get into anything. I saw him interviewed on a YouTube, and he basically said that Bitcoin had this apparent weakness, but when he went into the weakness, it was a setup. It wasn't a weakness at all. And according to him, Bitcoin can't be hacked. So it's kind of like an amazing situation there, where we're involved with a reincarnation system that's been compromised, and apparently the complications there were so immense that they're still wondering how to proceed or who they would need to have help actually fix this situation. And in the meantime, it's still in vogue. And according to Angie O'Rose, it's probably, 60% of the people that die get sucked into this thing. And then on top of it, you end up going to what's called these, Lords of Karma, and they do this life review, and they lay all kinds of guilt trips on you and stuff. And, I mean, if you're ever involved with anything after death and it's involved with guilt trips and things, well, and that's got nothing to do with spirituality here. Like, this is supposed to be a positive thing of transferring from, this body onto the next levels. It's not about these fake lords of karma that lay some guilt trip on you, find some weakness of yours that you have some guilt about, and then they get you to sign some soul contract where, and I think this is also tied into the gray agenda as well, because if you think about it, I mean, there are like millions of people have been abducted, and then, of course, memory of it has been wiped clean, so most of the people that have been abducted aren't even aware of it. So unless you're going through some kind of life transgression from a proper hypnotherapist, you wouldn't even know about it. Some people do know about it because they're starting to have those memories, but the fact is that they make it sound like, you agreed to all this, in between your lifetimes. Well, I think this is another kind of a BS story that's out there too, is because it's not that people are agreeing; they're being coerced into agreeing to have some of these things happen. And I've even heard of people that even were coerced into taking on other people's karma. So this is really a mess. This whole reincarnation thing. Now, of course, a couple of ways to bypass that whole system would be if you actually ascend to and become self-realized, like a Sri Ramana Maharshi type, or another process that would work as well would be in the ascension to the new 5D Earth. So, and this is a process that can happen without you experiencing a physical death. So you're not involved with the reincarnation cycle. So to me, this is a situation that may not arise, at least for everyone. Most people, though, are going to be sucked into this just hook, line, and sinker because they're not even going to know about it. And that's one of the reasons that I'm presenting this on ET Yoga, is I'd like to have my listening audience, who I have so much respect for, especially with related to their intelligence and their discernment for truth, that you check out this subject because it's a big, important issue. And, of course, and we're on a daily basis, I usually say to myself at some point in the mornings when I'm doing Egyptian healing rods, I usually say that I effortlessly intend, if I die, that my soul goes to source energy, because personally, I don't want to be involved with the Archon reincarnation system. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing the program tonight, to share, as usual, the Who Am I technique. It was called the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A, that was originally taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, and it was a method he used to become self-realized. And the idea here being that you place your full consciousness in the center of your head and become that spot. And then you state the question, who am I? And you can say that a few times or many times or whatever feels suitable to you. But the main point here is your full consciousness in the center of your forehead and becoming that spot. And then you say the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.